You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And welcome to this week's episode of Never Thought I'd Say This. I am your host, Jody Sweeten.
And I am Celia Behar, not looking at Jody Sweeten because it makes her laugh.
Yes, because we can't get through the intro, as everyone knows, without me making a complete fool of myself. And just, so Celia and I can't make eye contact, whether we're in the same room or even on Zoom, she cannot look at me.
Can't do it.
No, not at all. And this week, we are joined by a very special guest, which I think some of you may know. The lovely and wonderful Marla Sokoloff is here. Woohoo! Yay! Woo-hoo,
guys, thank you so much for having me on. I've been dying to be on the show.
Oh, yay. We're so happy you're here.
We hope that we don't disappoint you too terribly. There will be some level of disappointment, but we just hope it's not too tragic.
Ditto, by the way.
And you two are okay together in real life. Let's just like establish that, because we have a lot of Fuller House fans that watch, and everyone knows that Gia and Stephanie hate each other. And the fact that I know that, by the way, makes me a little sad, but it's okay.
Gia and Stephanie actually don't hate each other. Gia and Stephanie aren't allowed to speak, apparently.
We're
no longer friends, apparently. And it's all about DJ not liking Gia and that.
Oh, right.
But Stephanie, we've determined that basically Steph doesn't get to have friends for very long. Like throughout the whole run of the show,
DJ
had Kimmy. Michelle had like her friend, and Steph would have like a couple people, but they kind of always come and go. And Gia, we thought that we had a thing, but I guess Steph, maybe Steph's a really shitty friend.
I'm like at the point where like, is Steph that girl? Like, it's just
she's just kind of a selfish twat, and we just don't really see it much.
I mean, we must have had a falling out somewhere along the lines,
right?
You know?
Yeah, or maybe my backstory was like, maybe I was defending you, or I was sort of caught in the middle, and I had to take my sister's side. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how it was. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I literally did nothing to DJ, though. You know, so there's also that part of it where I'm like, why are you so mad at me? Like, why do you dislike me so much?
Everyone's mad at you because you made me smoke. That's why everyone's mad at you. Just accept it. Yeah, and that's what it is.
They're still mad at you for that. How old were you?
I'm still mad at her for that. Do you know that I smoked for 20 years? Because I'm just kidding.
By the way, this is like the soundbite of the whole podcast, because if that is my fault, I will take it on happily.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, it's all good.
That's very funny. That's funny.
Oh,
God.
So, how are we all doing?
I mean, we're still in lockdown.
Yeah. Sort of, though. Are we, though? I feel like we're at the point now where, like, we've just kind of skipped. I feel like we were like all very worried about getting to phase one. And then we kind of leapfrogged from one to like four. And now we're like, oh, well, school's not in, but I can't.
I'm so confused. In the same day, there was posts on, something with in LA where it was like, the virus is spreading, as fast as it ever has, still highly contagious. We're one of the cities that it's like, numbers went back up fast. And in the next day was a message from our mayor saying restaurants are open to go eat inside, and they'll be applying for permits to eat outside, but you'll be staggering and taking your temperature. And for the love of God, can someone explain to me how the taking temperature thing matters when some people are asymptomatic and don't have a temperature? So who cares? I'm so confused.
Really, really, if they're not doing it rectally, I want no part of it. That's all I'm saying. if if I don't have to have a thermometer stuck up my butt just to go in a restaurant, what's the fucking fun there?
This is where Jody,
I can stay home and do that. Thank you.
There.
Marla, this is where Jody has gotten to in quarantine without her boyfriend. She's at the point where she wants a stranger to stick a thermometer up her butt. Okay.
I didn't say, I was just saying, if we're going to do it, let's fucking commit. Okay.
Well, I'm not doing it. I don't know why you're looking at me. I am not shoving anything up your butt.
Look, I didn't say anyway. All I'm saying is, if we're really committed to knowing, I don't think the lasers are nearly as reliable as a rectal thermometer. All I'm saying. From what I've heard from pediatricians.
Okay.
Most accurate way.
Wait, Marla, did you just say that you feel like we're good?
Marla's face right now is like, what?
Yeah, ew. She's like, I'm so glad I really want to be on the show.
Just intensely to what you guys are talking about, because it's so fascinating.
Are you feeling like,
it's
left out? Did you want me to shove a thermometer?
No, I was just thinking like, of course you could put a thermometer up her ass. You guys are like so close.
First of all, yes, thank you, Marla. Thank you.
It's true.
I can't believe that my own supposed best friend wouldn't stick a thermometer up my butt.
Listen, I'd stick a thermometer up either of your butts if you needed me to.
That's all I needed. Now I feel like we're back.
Yes, you're welcome.
Really nice.
Okay. Okay. Good.
So beyond things like I never thought I'd have to say that my friend's sticking a thermometer up my butt, what do you have a good never thought I'd say this moment that you would like to share out of your parenting adventures?
Yeah, I mean, I remember with my older daughter, just right out of the gate, it was never thought I'd say this. Like, I remember just, you know, you get your new baby, you're so in love with your new baby. And then I joined this mommy and me at, I think she was like 8 weeks old. And it was, you know, it's the height of being like, what did I do? Like, this is so hard, you know, and you're breastfeeding and you're hormonal. And we were driving home from, and all of my mom friends from this group will back me up on this, because I had to like confess at the next meeting, because I'm like, clearly this child should be taken away from me. But we were driving and she just was doing that like newborn cry, like wouldn't stop, and where it gets under your skin and you're just like, oh my God, this baby needs to be quiet. And I turned around in the car and I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
I just remember being like, oh my God, I just told this like innocent little baby to shut the fuck up. Like, but it was either that or I was going to like crash my car, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Any new mom knows, as much as you want to meet the needs of a newborn when they are crying, particularly when you're driving, anyone's crying in the car, but it's a newborn and it's that insistent, I need something crying, and they cannot, and they're incapable of self-soothing or anything. And like you said, you're under all that stress. Like, it's like someone just hitting a hammer in the back of your head as you're driving, and you're trying to like, not stress and stay calm and, you know, calmly operate a vehicle with you and your newborn child, but you just want to drive it into a tree because you feel like it's not going to end.
Yeah.
So,
You know, in Encino, still weren't close to my house. So it was like endless, but I just remember like, maybe this didn't really happen, but in my head it did, where she like paused and kind of looked at me like, oh my God, this woman is my mom. Like, what am I doing? And now she's 8 and knows that that is a true sentiment, that I am crazy. And
I think the sooner kids learn that their moms are actually nuts, the better.
Yeah.
My kids are really learning it these days. Like, really?
Oh,
they're
yeah.
Like, yeah, mom is crazy. Moments.
My kids have known it for a long time.
I could think of, you know, like 100 things I've done in quarantine, you know.
Think of one. What's one?
Oh, give us one. We've already aired so many. It's like awful.
Yeah.
Wasn't one of the moms who like, you know, cared about screen time, you know, I feel like I started off that way. And then, you know, obviously when this happened, we all had the all bets are off, like go do whatever you got to do. And, you know, the other day, I think it was like on Thursday, I started the day off done. You know, you wake up.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We both know.
Yeah. Yeah. Where you start the day and you go, I can't wait till I can just cross this one off the calendar. Like, I'm done already. I don't want to.
And it's like 10 and then it's 10:05. It's like when you were in high school and you used to look at the clock and it like did not move. You know, you're like, how are we still not at 3 o'clock?
We're still
yet?
Here. Right.
And I just looked at both of them and I was like, you know what, girls, like, I'm not doing this today. So do whatever you need to do. Like, you go on your, and they did. And yeah. I just kind of like, I didn't go to bed or anything because there was 800 things I needed to do, but I just didn't deal with any of it. The schooling.
I did that this week. I've had, every couple weeks at like, I think Thursday, it was just, I started off the day done. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I can push. I can drive myself crazy. Yeah. I can scream. Why? And I just sort of the same thing. I was like, you guys know what you have to do today. Get done what you have to do. I can't today.
Well, because then you turn into like the impatient, like I, you know, when I'm like that, I find myself saying like the meanest things, you know?
Horrible things. Awful.
Yeah.
Frustration is a motherfucker. Like, yeah.
Are you guys patient moms?
Are we patient?
Are you patient moms?
No.
No, not definitely even. No.
It depends. Sometimes I have a patient moment, but it's usually become after like a week of me being so out of my fucking mind all the time and screaming at them that it's really less patience and more defeat. So I like to tell myself that I'm being so patient today. I'm like, no, you're just broken.
You're just dead inside.
You just have no soul left. That's actually what it is, but we'll call it patience. Sure.
I start out patient. And I will like warn them a bunch of times. And I even will say, I'm losing my patience. The problem is once I lose my patience, I can't find it again.
I can't like, find it. It is gone.
Nope.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
You've like, left.
Like once I go down the slope of cuckoo, like you cannot bring me back. Like and then I just get like crazy about like the dumbest crap. Where it's like, I asked you and whatever it was I asked them for and they didn't do, then I just start picking apart like everything. I'm like, this is bad and this is bad and this is not on the hanger right. And like,
right. My mom, because Zoe and I have been, we've been butting heads, which is totally normal and par for the course for a sixth grade, 12-year-old girl. Like that's where we are. And I get that. Pandemic has not made it any easier and there's no release for her to see her friends. I get that. But I have been calling on the grand poobah this week a lot, which is my mom and
the
master parenter. And, it's really funny because this week I've been talking to my mom a lot and she has been reminding me of shit I used to do that I don't even remember.
When they do that?
Like not, and I'm like, I was
like, what? Like what? Please.
One of them actually was really, I was really disappointed in myself. So, and I know it's also coming from how I don't cope well with things, but when my mom's aunt passed away, who was my great aunt, so she was my grandmother's sister, who I was close to, and I loved so much, but I was 14, 15, and I just was like, I don't want to do this. So I stayed in my room the whole day. I refused to go to the service. And I can't believe I did. Like looking back on it now, I'm so embarrassed and ashamed because I'm usually such a person that does, and she was like, oh no, you used to just hide in your room all the time. Like you never came out. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah. So I'm like, oh, because Zoe is now in the, she's just in her room all the time. But like funny, just shit of like my attitude and that I'm like, I never would. And she's like, yeah, you did. You were a little older, but yeah, you did,
Wow.
But her biggest thing this week, she was like, just save yourself and be patient. And don't just stop being critical. It doesn't matter.
Critical of them or critical of
yourself?
Both.
But just that's good. She was like, Zoe doesn't need to hear it anymore. She's at her wit's end. She's spiraling. Just stop. And I said, okay. And because I know it and I realize it. And I know when my mom's critical of me, I'm so hypersensitive to it that it drives me fucking crazy. And so I know if I'm doing it at all, I'm sure the kids are having that same like visceral reaction. And I know that I get critical when my anxiety shoots up because things are out of control and I can't fix it. And so I start criticizing every little thing that's out of place.
Yep.
And that doesn't make anyone want to do anything. Doesn't make it. I know when someone's critical of me, I'm not like, oh, let me fix that for you. I'm like, hey, suck a dick. First of all, thank you very much. And I'm pretty sure that that's kind of where the kids are at. It's like, just because you're telling me to do it now, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
When I'm not anxious, like, which is like, probably in 10 minutes of when I'm sleeping is when I'm
you're on the right show.
I'm having like one of those days where I'm not checking my phone about like anything I'm waiting on for like work or If everyone's in a good mood, if everyone's just like chill and I'm okay, then I feel like I'm like a pretty patient mom. It's when all of those other things like land on me and it's just so right. heavy and they ask you for like a fucking snack on top of it. How dare they?
Right.
And
okay.
that's when okay. I just,
well, I think it's that, it, again, it's that thing of as long as everything is just going perfectly and the way it's supposed to, and they're doing their chores and their assignments and they aren't freaking out and no one's yelling. And like, as long as the very long list of things is checked, then I'm okay. But the second life happens, and life is happening a lot right now. The second life happens, I'm like, I can't deal. I can't do this. I don't, this is no. This was not my expectation.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to my boyfriend about it too. And it's something that I've learned in recovery about, you know, expectation is a recipe for disappointment and frustration yeah. and resentment. Mm-hmm. So the more I expect a certain behavior out of my kids, the more I am probably not going to be met with that because it's not going to be what I expect it to be. So I'm trying to let go of that a little bit.
It's so funny that you say that because you taught me that. Like that's, you know, I feel like that's the biggest lesson I've learned in our whole friendship is that, because I remember you saying like expectation is the killer of everything because yeah. you can't. And I'd never really thought about it before, but it's like, you can't hold yourself and expect yourself to reach certain things. You can't do that to kids. You can't do it to relationships. Right. And quite frankly, I think the biggest lesson that I learned about that and from you was you can't hold it to the life of someone. Because when Julie right. was dying, it was like, you know, it's like, but I expected. And I remember you getting on the phone with me and you were like, you have to let these expectations go. You cannot control what's going to happen next.
Right.
And that was, you know, as terrifying as it was actually really freeing. And I think that if we can let that be a thing and let the expectations go, it can be. And one of my favorite quotes of anything ever was, I read this book called Marrow by Elizabeth Lesser.
Such a great book.
It's the most amazing. And it helped me so much through my sister's death because I was reading it while she was dying and it's about sisters and it's a true story. And she says that she had to learn to relax into the mystery of the unknown. Mm-hmm. And that literally sums up what you just said. It's like, you got to let expectations yeah. go and you yeah. have to relax into the mystery of the unknown. And I say that to my kids a lot, although usually it's while I'm like screaming at them.
Right. Yeah.
So maybe they don't hear it. I don't know.
The Zen way to approach it.
No.
I also feel like that is kind of like part of the pandemic too. Like
what?
I said that goes for this like pandemic thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I want to know like, when's it going to end? And are the kids going to school? And all of that is so anxiety producing. But if mm-hmm. you practice, you know, exactly what you just said in that way too, it's just, we can't control this. Yeah. You know?
And again, it's, these are skills that I've learned in recovery that I need reminding of sometimes. Because I think what I realized too is I'm really good at not having expectations of other adults necessarily in my life mm-hmm. and, you know, other situations. I can sort of realize that I'm going into it with an expectation, but I forget that I have that of my kids. I think it's not expectation. It's just what should be happening.
Right.
Because I said it and I'm mom and that's what, you know.
Yes.
And in a way, yes, it's true. Should I have high expectations of my kids? Yes. But if I have high expectations without the ability to let them go and deal with what is, then it does me no good, you know? And I tell my kids that all the time. I go, we have to deal with what is, not with what we wish was.
Yep.
Yes. So, well, and as far as your point, Marla, with the pandemic, I will say this also, something that I feel like when I can get really in that minute of like, and probably it's just a minute of, you know, relaxing into the mystery of the unknown and talking to my kids about it because, you know, especially Harper, who's, you know, about to go into high school and just had to do her orientation online and, you know, and she's already anxious about going into high school and all this stuff. And we were talking last night and, you know, what I kind of keep trying to reiterate to them, and it's like my mantra too, is if nothing else, this has taught us, I hope, to live in the moment because we really do not do that. Especially in America, we do not do that. We are always looking for the next thing, for the next, you know, rush to look forward to things, to look forward to things. Okay, stop. You don't have to look forward to something other than the next minute of your life and the be happy that you have it.
I got to say, I felt like everyone, when we hit the sourdough bread making portion of quarantine, like that was the present moment. That was when
we went from
like,
banana bread to sourdough.
With my dad and I'm making things and I'm going to give a sourdough starter to my neighbor and all that shit. It was great. And that was when we were like super present in the dough.
Right.
In the dough-ment, if you will.
But,
in the dough-ment. But now I feel like we're just all like, what, but now what, but now what, but now what, but now, like, what happens next? And that's normal because of the, you know, the fucking fear of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not to change the subject, but I have a fucking story for you.
Okay. I'm scared and happy.
I'm going to share it. I've got to share it with names. It's whatever.
Okay.
Poor B. Okay.
Aww.
So Saturday night, back to the moment of like, I'm just going to let things go. Mm-hmm. Saturday night was the night that the kids and I, we decided, okay, you guys want to stay up and have like your little sleepover, hang out, do whatever, watch TV, you know, make food in the kitchen. Fine. So we had ordered pizza that night. Zoe wanted some pizza and B wanted pasta, but she wanted, she decided on shrimp Alfredo pasta. So we have that and pizza. I decide at like midnight, I'm like, okay, I'm done. You know, one was on her iPad, one was on the phone. Then they were doing stuff together. I'm like, good night. I love you. Please. I trust you. Like I keep trying to tell them that I trust you to make good decisions, which I don't, but I have to tell them that. So, cause they don't make good decisions ever. But you know, I have hopes, which I should not. And so I come upstairs and I go to bed and...
Oh, is this what you texted me? I feel like I kind of know where this is going. Yeah. Okay.
Scared.
So I get up at one point because I still hear the TV on and I go downstairs. B has now fallen asleep in front of the TV. She has the leftover pasta in front of her. Plus she got into, I have like Ensure shakes, like the little milkshake sitting around because I have been not doing great with food and eating. I don't eat when I'm stressed. So that's kind of been a supplement thing for me. So we had those and she like cracked one of those open and then some cauliflower puffs and an ice cream sandwich and like something else. She was fucking living it up, right? Passed out on the couch, went to bed. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I come back upstairs. Everything's fine. I awakened to Zoe coming into my room. Mom, don't panic. Don't be mad. B just puked everywhere. Okay. And I am in, it's that moment when you wake up as a mom, when you can't, like you have been presented with a fucking crisis, right?
Oh God.
And you don't know what you're walking into, but you just know it's vomit. There's vomit somewhere and it's my favorite thing and I don't know what's going to happen. So now mind you, like I said, I've been going through this thing with food where like food makes me nauseous. I'm just so anxious. It's really hard to eat. It's awful. So the thought of food, pictures of food at this point make me nauseous. So all I know is I now have to go and do it. You guys, when I tell you, when I open the door,
oh no,
start coming downstairs,
I can smell
what happened.
It was an exorcism.
And little B, bless her heart, woke up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and felt herself getting sick and ran, not to the closest bathroom, by the way, because she's afraid of the fan in there and it's too loud. So she had to run a little further, and that little bit of distance just didn't quite make it. She got into the bathroom and was turning the lights on and just let it go.
Oh, God.
Zoe got her in the shower and she was cleaning up and she was like, I feel so much better, Mom. Like, you know that feeling after you get sick and you're like, thank fucking God,
yes.
Whatever demons were in my belly just exited violently.
Yes.
And so she's like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, baby, it's okay. I'm not mad. And I wasn't, I was like, I'm not mad. I don't get mad at puking. This you tried. I'm just so proud. It wasn't the couch or the carpet, and it was at least in a tiled room. So there you go. But I'm like, okay, so I have to walk out of the room, and I walk out, and she's in there showering and whatever, and I walk out, and I'm like, just gagging, right? And I'm like, nope. We're in fucking mom warrior mode right now, and we have no gag reflex. We don't have one of those. That's not what we're doing. So I went, and I collected. I was like, 30 seconds, trash bags, paper towels, Clorox wipes, spray cleaner, the whole thing. I go in there and I have to pick up the rug that's in front of the shower.
Oh, God.
I get that into the trash bag.
Yeah, that's done.
Still, yeah. Right. Yeah. I'm not washing that fucking.
Nope. No, no.
Burn it to the ground. Mm-hmm. So then I'm like, okay, so that was some of it, but it hit the shower door and like in the crack, cause it's an old shower door, you know? So it's just a floor to ceiling, like shower door in the tile wall. And it's like a hinge, just a whole long hinge that's got a little, like, you know, half an inch crack in there that just is, it's all in there. In the bottom of the, like, everywhere, right? And poor, and B's just like, I'm sorry, but I feel better. I'm like, B, don't even, I'm not even mad. I don't even care. Don't worry about it. Picking it up, pick, and just scooping it into the. And like picking it up and taking it into the trash can and cleaning it up and lighting every fucking candle in the living room. Like, it looked like I was having a seance in there. I was literally exercising the vomit demons, you guys. I was getting them out, and it's all good now. That room is probably cleaner than it was, you know, prior to the pandemic, but I had a vomit incident.
You did. This week.
Hey, Jody, I believe that reading labels is key, and I do it with everything from the food that I buy to the beauty products that I use, and even my deodorant from Native.
Oh, you know, I too am a Native lover. I just got two new scents the other day, a grapefruit one. Ooh. And then my usual coconut and vanilla, which is my go-to.
My new favorite is the lilac one. And, you know, they have over 10 scents, including the rotational seasonal ones, which I'm obsessed with this time. They've got something for everyone. And like you said, the most popular ones are coconut and vanilla, the lavender rose, cucumber and mint, and the citrus and herbal. Like I said, my favorite right now is the lilac. I'm honestly obsessed with it. It's one of my favorite flowers. And it honestly smells like lilac. And guess what? It lasts.
Yes, it does. It totally lasts. Yeah. And I feel like I smell coconutty.
Yeah. I mean, it's vegan and it's never tested on animals. It lasts. It doesn't have crappy things in it. There's honestly nothing not to like about Native. And they have other products. They have their toothpaste and their body wash.
I love the body wash. And, you know, all their stuff uses coconut oil, shea butter, tapioca starch, all of that. So it's totally natural. And I just feel better about putting that kind of stuff on my body. I'm really trying to improve what I use, and Native has really helped with that.
Me too. And Native is risk-free to try. Every product comes with free shipping within the US, plus free 30-day returns and exchanges. See why so many people love Native and check out the over 14,000 five-star reviews. Maybe a bunch of those came from me because I love them that much. You know, who knows? Listen, do what I did and make the switch to Native today by going to nativedeo.com/say this or use promo code say this at checkout and get 20% off of your first order. That's nativedeo.com/say this or use promo code say this at checkout for 20% off of your first order.
You guys, I think I won Parenting Hell Bingo this week. I got a vomit incident. Mm-hmm. I had I hate you thrown at me because I took a phone.
That's right.
An argument over laundry. Someone totally like not completing assignments in school. And then just insane arguing between the siblings. And I feel like that, like I won. I don't know what I win.
Nothing. You get
probably not a free vacation.
No. But, I mean, if you end up with a yeast infection, I'd say that you've like completely like just gone all the way up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Then
I'm just going for like, you know, when you play bingo and you just go for the blackout board, like right, everything yes. on there, then it's just like yeast infection,
right,
you
right.
know, broken toe.
Yeah. Just
add it on like flat tire.
Yep.
Keep going. Just keep
going. These are only things that moms can do. Like I remember the first time my older daughter threw up and she was still in a crib. So she was older. I feel like she was maybe like two. And I picked her up out of the crib again, like the scooping, disgusting. And she was puking. She was still puking, like in my neck. Like she,
right.
And it was like, I felt hot lava going down. I just remember being like, only moms could do this. Like my husband never, you know, like nobody besides like moms.
First time I've told the Zoe throwing up story, haven't I? The first time she ever puked after eating a ridiculous amount of pomegranate seeds.
No.
Oh, let me tell you that when someone throws up after eating pomegranates, it looks as though their head has exploded. And that was what I thought happened for the first 5 seconds because I think B was an infant at the time. So Morty and I were still together. We had been out somewhere and we came home and I believe our friend Emma was watching the girls.
Oh my.
And Zoe had been eating pomegranates and she must have had some little stomach bug and was asleep on the couch. We walk in the door. We're all standing in the kitchen talking about things. I hear this like wet cough come up and then crying. And I turn around and look and she had been lying when she coughed. It just all came out on her face and it looked as though her face had suddenly exploded.
Oh my God.
It was horrific. And then she's crying because she'd never done it before.
Oh yeah.
She was terrified. And I felt awful. And then the whole rest of the night, then the next time she threw up in the Tempur-Pedic pillow, which she has like a little, it's like a bowl sort of. And that pillow also went in the trash because you're not getting vomit out of a Tempur-Pedic pillow.
No.
And just cover the bed in towels, everything. I mean, if you haven't had like a horrific vomiting story as a parent, then you're just, you're probably not.
Do you want to know what mine was?
Yeah.
Mine was, we lived in upstate New York at the time and I was still married. I don't know if my ex-husband was in town or not. I don't know that it would have mattered either way. But Harper was in the top bunk because my kids have been in bunk beds for forever, vomited in the top bunk. Yeah. Try cleaning vomit out of a top bunk.
Oh.
Like there's no real way to make it so that like it's all over her. It was all over stuffed animals, everything like that. And so I had to get her down. So then there's like chunks of it, like falling down. And I'm like, you know, the little one's crying and she's over on the side and I'm like trying to do it. And Harper's crying because she feels terrible. And like, it's the whole thing. And I have to climb up onto the top bunk because there's no way that I can do anything. And they have foam mattresses. So I'm like,
I got to say, all I was glad for was that Darwin, the dog who was for the weekend visiting, was that the dog did not get involved in the vomit scene and start eating it because then everyone would have been out in the backyard with hoses, dogs, kids, everything.
Well,
and then we would have moved.
Burn the house down.
That's another reason to burn down. There was a time when I was driving and I won't say who did it to who, but one of my kids threw up on the other.
Oh yeah.
While driving.
Candy corn vomiting.
No good.
On the 5.
Yeah.
One ate too much candy corn and car smelled candy corn puke the whole rest of the way home from Orange County.
Well, the best part of mine was that it wasn't in my car. It was in my brother-in-law's car. Truck rather. So like his truck smelled like vomit for a very long time. And the one that was thrown up on to this day, if the other one coughs,
it's
completely. Right. And it's like, and then the other one yells at her for losing her mind. It's like, you're making me feel
right. Well, that was another thing, you know, Zoe of course was like, get away, it's Corona. And like, so I'm like, it's not, it's
too much dairy.
It's that's too much what that dairy is. And a pork. I think I would have puked at that combination.
I 100%
like shrimp and
Ensure.
You
was like sitting there too long or something.
And she was drinking the Ensure while eating the
That is not a good combo.
That is not at all.
I'm allergic to milk, so that makes me nauseous on top of everything. Because
I know, thinking about it now, I'm like, can't do it.
So that's a problem. That's like a big.
Hopefully whoever listens to this podcast is okay with vomit.
I mean, they are now. Episode. And again, like Emily always says, we are simply warning the people that children are gross.
Right.
They're gross and gross things happen. And that's just what it is. But, you know, it is true though, that mom thing of, I wonder, it's like something about the fact that this is your child and you, like, there's just, anybody else threw up on me, that's it. I'm puking and punching them. Like, it's all bad. But like, your kid does it and you're immediately like, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. You're going to be okay. Like,
yeah.
If one of the cats vomits, I yell at it. I'm like, hey,
that's disgusting. Right.
Like, if it's my kid, then it's like, maybe I yell at them too. No, I'm just kidding. Right. I vomit doesn't really totally like freak me out. I luckily, like, it's disgusting. It's gross. But I find that there are worse things as a mom I've had to deal with than vomit. It's gross, but I can handle it.
I don't know. I'm going to say it's number one on the list of things I don't want to deal with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, mine's poop.
Well, that's like when also really gross, but the tendency,
explosions that used to happen, I would cry.
But see, when they're babies, like, it's gross, but it's tolerable, but like the chances of them randomly like having, you know, some sort of violent shitting accident these days.
That's true. No,
is less than just, you know, oops, like that's it. And I want to say, I'm so impressed with the fact that we have turned an entire podcast episode into talking about the disgusting things that we have to deal with. But really, that was the excitement of my week. I mean,
well,
everything else paled in comparison to being woken up. Also, the fact that like I didn't sleep great at all that night anyway.
Of course.
Being woken up by vomit.
Oh, well. We've made the joke before, and I think it's even more apropos now. Listen, if people don't have kids and they listen to our podcast, especially as everyone's like, oh, there's going to be all these, you know, COVID babies. Not if you're listening to our podcast or not. We are plan C. No. Like we are the birth control to end all procreation of any kind. I think if you listen to it, we're good. Like that's
or we just find, you know, the masochists in the group who are like, you know what? I could do that. I'm up for it.
Well, that's like the whole, you know, you were a perfect parent before you had kids. So you know what? You want to take that challenge? Fine. Game on. You fucking try this and tell any of the three of us that you do better than we do. It's fine. We will.
Marla, what grades are your kids in right now? So like, I was just wondering about school stuff.
They're so cute.
Yeah. She's wrapping up. Thank you. She's wrapping up preschool. So she'll be in kindergarten in the fall. Hopefully. I'm assuming I'm her teacher. I'm her kindergarten teacher. And then my older daughter's in second grade.
Okay.
Yeah.
How are they doing?
Stuff?
You know what? They're doing okay. You know, I think it's like good days and bad days. I actually feel worse for my little one because, you know, just the social piece that she's missing is massive because she was doing so well. Like she's very shy and like, you know, she's super attached to me. And I feel like this has just exacerbated that. Like now we're stuck in the house together for months on end. I was already worried about getting her to go to kindergarten without me. And now I'm completely like, I don't know how that's happening.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I had never thought about, I mean, obviously I've thought about the social impacts on kids, but, you know, I have two kids that are, one, they're a little older, so they've had some school experience and stuff, but they're also, I mean, you've met them. They're pretty gregarious, you know, not shy, they want to go, the sooner I leave, they're, you know, bye mom, and have kind of always been that way. But the impact on kids who aren't necessarily the most social and who maybe are really attached to their parents or parental figures, and how not only the effect of not being around their peers, but this sort of global fear that's hanging in the background of it. Of course, kids that are shut, like, I can't imagine that would help at all. No. You know, now you're going to go, okay, remember all the things you were afraid of. Now go away again, you know?
Yeah, totally. And it's also going back to that mom thing where you're frustrated and you have zero patience in the midst of all this. And you just, I mean, it's like, you know, it's like we're used to being alone. Our kids go to school till 3:00. You have a job. You know, you're alone a lot. And so, I mean, we're moms and we're with our kids, but we also get to have like that time to ourselves. And that's been the hardest thing for me is just losing that completely. And then on top of it, when you have a kid who, like when you're taking a shower or sitting outside, it's hard to have that ongoing sympathy. And I'm pretty good with her because I do feel really, really bad for her. And I'm just trying to like remind myself that this is so shitty for them too.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, it's definitely like I have to practice a lot of like compassion with her because, you know, she is if she could like rip my skin open and get back into my uterus.
Enjoy it now because soon they're going to scream, I hate you. And you kill all of our fun and slam the door in your face. So yeah,
my 8-year-old's been there. Believe me, it's an ebb and flow.
Right. And I, you know, I forget too, like talking about, you know, having the expectations of kids. I forget that my expectations of what kids are supposed to act like also is skewed. And I think Celia and I feel like we've maybe talked about this before. You know, when my kids are like, you know, what about when you were our age? Like, how was it with friends? I'm like, when I was your age, I was working full time. I had a job. I was doing my homework on airplanes, flying on red eyes to go travel on weekends and do appearances and then come home and work some more and, you know, balance school in between. And then I realized that's not fair.
No, it's not fair.
That's not other kids' experience. And so I expect them to manage like little adults because I sort of did in some ways. And, you know, I was not as emotional. I was a, you know, kind of unemotional kid. And so I realized my expectation of what they're supposed to behave like as kids, you know, I'm putting this really unrealistic expectation on their behavior. That they are supposed to be responsible and not have an attitude and somehow they're supposed to just get along with me and be super nice all the time. And I'm like, oh no, that's not realistic at all.
No, no, it's not. You know, this is where I also like, it's hard being, you know, being a therapist and also being a school counselor where I'm like,
I was going to say, Celia, what are your official?
Listen, it's like when it's for other kids, it's so much easier. When I'm doing it with my own, first of all, it's become to like where I get like backlash where they're like, don't be a therapist to us. You know? And I'm like, oh shit, that's happening now.
Right. Right.
It's, I've talked about this before. I think it's the best possible thing that we can do. And Marley, you're doing it is to allow our kids to have their feelings. And it's what you just said, Jody. It's like, you can't expect them to act a certain way. And I think we all jump to it. I found myself doing it last night when I was talking to Harper about something. And then I had to like constantly remember to say a certain line. So she was, you know, saying, this is all just so unfair. And why is this happening to our generation? Right. And I said, Harper, this is happening to everybody. And she's like, right. But you were already a kid and you already got to do the stuff. And I said, I understand. I'm not actually dead, but thank you for assuming that I'm like the crypt keeper. Like, fuck you. I was
back
like,
in your day, right.
Like, oh, fuck off. But you know, she has a point, and I kept having to put in, I'm not trying to take away from your experience. I hear you. It's not fair. You're right. I can't imagine what it would be like to be a kid in this, you know, time. And, you know, at some point I said to them, because they were talking, both of them were talking to me about how, you know, crazy things are and how this is just so messed up and they don't know how to feel and they're scared and all these things. And I was like, I said, well, I mean, I lived in New York and was downtown for 9/11. So like, not to play, you know, crazy crap bingo, but like, you know, bingo.
Right.
And Harper right away was like, well, at least you weren't a kid then. And I was like, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. I wasn't. And as much as, you know, in all the like reading I do, cause, and like, it's, and probably should stop because I'm just like reading every like psychology article. The thing that I keep coming across like over and over again is to validate your kids' feelings. We as parents want to say things to them like, you know, it's going to be fine. You're fine. Everything's fine. It's okay to say to them, listen, we're really lucky because we are, right? Like we, the three of us, you know, are in a, and many other people are in a place of privilege because we have houses. We are still working to a certain extent. We have food on our table. Like we are actually doing okay. That's not the case in a lot of places in, you know, this country or the world for that matter, even without a pandemic. So I want them to understand that they should appreciate that. That's important. And we're there to teach them that, to understand that it could be a lot worse. That being said, don't take away from their experience because all they know is their experience. And it's our job to also validate that. And they just want to be listened to. And I always think about that Maya Angelou talking about what kids really want. And I'm sure I've said this before on here, which is to be seen and to be heard. Mm-hmm. And that's really all. You know, fuck the schoolwork. You're doing the best you can. I wrote Jody last night. I said, I know there's 2 more weeks of school. I fucking give up. Like
that's
my kids over, fuck it. I mean, they're like, we don't really have any more work done. I don't know if that's true or not. Guess what? I'm going to claim blissful ignorance and I'm not going to find the fuck out because they've had it. Like they fucking
burnt out
already. I'm burnt out. They're burnt out. It's not, you know, it's not fair. Although I do have a good Lulu quote that happened yesterday that I wrote down. While we went out to
Marla, just so you know, Lulu and B are like, I just called them twin flames. They are, I don't, to spend a day in their head would be really interesting.
I love them,
and it's super interesting and creative. But also, just to touch on that, speaking of, you know, being on a whole tirade about everything, you know, what about global warming? And you know, I'll forget about that. And then there's a pandemic. So, you know, what if people, old people, and now young people are getting sick, and then there's no school, and now Black Lives Matter, and then this, and that, you know, and so I had to realize, like, all of that stuff, as much as we think we're kind of shielding them from that, they are very aware and very incapable of processing, as we are, all of that at once, and let alone, you know, people who've been on the planet for a decade.
I would also say, and this is the school counselor in me, don't shield them from too much.
And I haven't
been. Yeah, I know you do.
Zoe has been, you know, like, super open in talking about it.
Right. Yes, Marla?
I was just going to say, what are the recommended ages for having these conversations? It's like, I talked about it with my older daughter because she happened to walk in. I thought she was sleeping, but she came in on me watching the news. And it was like on Saturday night when, you know, anyway. So what are the appropriate ages? Cause my, you know, I don't want to scare them and, you know, just talk to them about, you know, obviously the race stuff's super important. We want them to know that, like, everybody's welcome. We love everybody. Like, we're Jewish. It's not like we're, you know, exempt from that. But the pandemic stuff and the virus has turned them into germaphobes. Like, we went, we drove to Ojai for the day and we got lunch to go. And there was a park with a picnic bench and they wouldn't sit on it. I'm like, I have Lysol wipes. And my daughter was like, absolutely not. I'm not sitting on the bench. And it's, I just don't know. What are the long-term effects of this virus for them?
Well,
I think your daughter's very smart.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't sit on the park. I don't like park benches. They make me a little worried. You
know? We wound up eating in our trunk because it was like nowhere to sit.
Well, they can sit on the grass, certainly. Right. Listen, you use the language that's appropriate for them so that they understand. This is where, at least with my kids, I default to history. It makes it so that they have something to grasp almost, because kids don't think, you know, linearly at all. But if you can say to them, you know, this has actually happened before in our lifetime. There have been other pandemics and people have gotten through them. And we're not sure, obviously, how we'll come. Don't lie. You know, we don't know how we'll come through this, but we'll come through it one way or the other, you know, as best we can. And you can point back to history and say that. I mean, they're not going to understand, you know, that it was, you know, what, 1918 or 1918, whatever. But
just that the world has experienced
it is experienced
and continued.
Right.
And
you can talk to them about it. And I never have believed in shielding kids from anything, because I don't really see what that does. I think that just makes them very ill prepared for life. You just have to make sure that you're using language that they understand. Obviously, you know, talking about race relations is always important. And I talk to my kids about the fact that, because my kids have, you know, said, like you did, like, obviously we're Jewish. You talk about that a lot. And so they've tried to compare that. And we had a really good talk the other day, how there's no comparison here. Like, we can pass for something else. Black people don't get that, that privilege. And that's a privilege. And that really, like, resonated, I think, with them. And I wish that someone had said that to me when I was younger. I didn't actually get to that conclusion until I was in grad school. I've talked about that before. I think with the pandemic, you know, whatever makes them feel comfortable right now is okay. If they want to sit on the grass or they don't want to eat on a park bench, then it's okay. Don't make them. But talk to them about the fact that this isn't what we need to do probably moving forward, that there's always going to be precautions we have to take and that things are going to change. And as a vaccine comes out and as we have antivirals, you know, they're going to ease back into being there. And the other one big thing I'll say, and I know that we, like, are going to start wrapping up. You might want to remind them, and I had to remind my kids of this too. We have immune systems for a reason. And actually other germs are good. They're good. We need them. And part of the fear of this, you know, being inside so much is that we're not getting exposed to other germs. So our immune systems are not fighting things and they actually need to fight things. So it's okay. Say, I'll lice all this. And you know what? This is going to kill the COVID. It might not kill all the other germs, but that's good for you. You need your body to fight. Your body is a fighter. Right. It wants to fight.
Right.
And that's important.
And also explaining to them, like, you know, and that's why we wear masks and we wear gloves and we don't touch things and we take all those precautions and things, you know.
Right. It's yeah. important. Anyway, this is what Lulu said to me about at least school.
Oh yes, I want to hear yeah, the Lulu
well,
quote.
Yeah, she's something special. We drove up to Malibu yesterday to social distance birthday my friend Lisa, and as we're driving up there, we were talking about homeschooling, and I basically said like, listen, I know it's been tough, and I'm sorry, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know. I'm sure I've yelled at you for nothing, and I bet you miss school. And Lulu was like, yeah, you know, sometimes I do, but I have to tell you, she was like, there's one thing I don't miss. She's like, one of my teachers has the worst breath. Whenever she'd come and like correct things on my paper and she'd breathe on me, it was like really disgusting. She's a list. She's like, it was like her breath smelled like a 2-year-old burrito that had been on a homeless man's butt.
No.
That was the quote. I said, oh. I'm sorry, what now? She's like, it yeah. smells like her breath smelled like a 2-year-old burrito that had been on a homeless man's butt.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, well,
something that's bad breath. I never want to actually experience to be able to verify whether that's true or not.
Well, I did have, I was laughing and then I had the wherewithal.
I love burritos.
Yeah. Now that, yeah. I had the wherewithal to say, A, I need to like voice to text this into my phone so I remembered. And B, then say, hey, Lulu, do me a favor. Don't say that on a Zoom call. Like, just
right.
keep it in the car. Don't. And she was like, right. oh, right. Yeah.
That. Right. Yeah. Don't say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great, Lulu.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that was that. I didn't have any, I'm sure I had a million craptastic parenting moments. I don't remember any of them.
I think it's all just one craptastic yeah. parenting yeah. moment strung together with minor flashes of pretty decent, okay parenting. That's what I feel like.
Yeah, I think.
So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I did. I had an airing of grievance from Harper, and I don't know who these fans are, but if you could stop, that would be great. Apparently, a lot of fans have written Harper, and she let me know that most of the messages that she gets on Instagram is, "Are you really as big of an asshole as your mom says you are on the podcast?"
Eek.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever said that Harper is an asshole. She's not an asshole. I love Harper. She's amazing. You know, but also she didn't act like she does sometimes. Then I wouldn't have to tell those stories. I'm just saying.
But we have been making a concerted effort to also share our yes. stories of their successes.
Yes, because your mom got mad at us.
And also we don't want people to constantly, like, we do have great stories about our kids. We share our great, fun, silly ones, but it just so happens that sometimes shit happens.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. No, my kids are great. Harper's great. All people stop writing her. She's amazing. And I love her and I adore her. And she's a fantastic daughter.
Yeah.
Good God.
There. Now they're going to write.
She just yelled up, thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Harper. We love you.
We all love you, Harper.
Oh, poor Harper.
Marla, would you tell people where they can find you on social media and what you are up to and, you know, anything that you want people to check out that you're doing right now?
Let's see. Marla Sokoloff on Instagram. I used to tweet. I don't anymore. So I don't even think there's a point in sharing what that would be. What am I working on? You guys, I'm just working on like laundry and cooking and just being really great at that. And I'm just hoping that we get to go back to work one day.
I know.
I actually have a craptastic parenting moment that's very quick.
Oh, damn it.
And it happened during this pandemic. And actually the barf reminded me of it because there was an evening here in quarantine that mommy had one too many margaritas. And the next morning, and I haven't thrown up from vomit since. I don't even know if I ever have. Like, I'm not a big drinker like that. You know, have a glass of wine and then just be done. Mm-hmm. And I was so sick the next morning. Like, I was puking. And I just said to my husband, I'm like, I was like texting him. I'm like, I can't get out of bed. The fucking room is spinning. He's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, this happened to me. My kids made me get well cards. And they walked into their room because I told them I wasn't feeling well. So of course one thought I had Corona and then the other one was just terrified. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this is the darkest thing that's ever happened to me. Like, get well soon, Carl.
Get well from your hangover, you alcoholic mother.
So that was a dark day for me.
Now I feel like my kids are dicks because I've totally been drunk through a lot of this pandemic. And no one gave me a fucking get well card. What the hell?
Maybe you need to ask one. Maybe you need to be like, hey, guys, I'm a little hungover. I could use a get well card.
I mean, also, I did
hash browns and bacon. Thank you very much.
I did this podcast drunk one night, and I didn't get a good get well card from you, Jody.
That's impressive.
Because yeah, I don't want you to get well, because I want you to always do the podcast drunk because it was hilarious. That's why I would not send you a get well card to prevent that kind of behavior, Celia.
I was drunk from the night before, Marla, and didn't realize that I was still drunk until we started the podcast. And then I was like, oh, crap.
That's the worst. When you're like, I got to go to the market, but I cannot drive right now.
Right. Yeah.
Nope. It was all bad. It was interesting.
Audience, if you would like to find some more of our crazy adventures, you can also follow us on social media, which is Instagram and Facebook at Never Thought I'd Say This, or you can find us by emailing us at neverthoughtid@protonmail.com.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, you guys.
Oh my God, Marla, thank you for doing this.
We are so glad that you came on. Thank you so much for sharing your craptastic moments, your darkest moments. But seriously, I love you. I'm so
for making Jody smoke all those years ago.
All those years ago.
Just not over it.
But seriously, it's how much fun that we have known each other since we were listening to Green Day albums in my room.
Yes. You guys.
13, 14 years old. And now here we are talking about fantastic kid moments.
So. Marla, you were a question on our trivia game the other day, by the way. We have friends trivia over here. And it was, what's the name of Joey's sister who goes to Rachel for advice for being pregnant? And I literally could not think of your character's name. And I'm like, God damn it. I was like, that's Marla. She's on the show on Monday. Like, why can't I think of that? And of course, both of my kids were like, it's Dina, Mom. And I was like, oh, right. All right. Well, yeah. I love watching both of you as actresses, by the way. I just want to say that. I'm going to fangirl out about both of you.
Thank you. Well, and tomorrow, June 2nd, which of course this episode will air later so people can still check it out. But the new episodes of Fuller House will be out. And Gia is in many of them, being her wonderful Gia self.
Awesome.
Hey, you guys, thank you so much for joining us, Marla. Thank you for listening. And remember, you guys, keep killing the parenting game.
And not your kids.
Never Thought I'd Say This is a co-production by Audioboom and Main Event Media.